This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
Right, quick thinking, okay?
Okay.
Name something that scares the bejesus out of you.
Clowns.
I was hoping for something different. Everyone knows you don't like clowns. Right, quick. Name something else that scares the bejesus out of you.
Eyes.
Quick. Name something that scares the bejesus out of you.
We've been through this. There's quite a lot.
There is. Clowns are your number one.
What?
Clowns are your number one fear, you'd say.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you mine. Like, when I think of something that scares the bejesus out of me, someone's like, quick.
I know what it is.
What?
Incels.
No. Well, yeah, they do scare the bejesus out of me. Kangaroos. They fuck me up. I don't know why. No, like, you can't show me a picture or a video of a kangaroo without me just being like, it doesn't make any sense. It's half man, half rabbit. Why aren't people more wary of these creatures? They're terrifying.
What did you think I was going
to
say?
I don't know. I was trying to get you to go quick, like an animal or something. Like, if you came in contact with, like, a bear, you'd be like,
a fucking
fuck
bear.
That. Okay, a bear.
A bear, a fucking a tiger. Fuck me. Like, a kangaroo, I'd box its head off.
Right.
Kangaroo, right, I don't understand. Right, for you, I understand why you're scared of a kangaroo. But you seen the video of your man boxing the head off?
Yeah, I have. But the thing is, his dog was in danger. So he was like, my baby, I have to protect it kind of thing. It was like, it was his boy or yeah, girl, I don't know.
Right. A kangaroo could nick a bag of peanuts off me. I will knock that kangaroo out.
Okay, for anyone listening who doesn't get this and thinks, oh, she's being a bit dramatic about it, look up videos of kangaroos, like the one that's just standing staring at you. It's got a man's like torso, a rabbit's head, but its eyes are eerily human. They stare into your soul. They're looking at you like, go on, fucking try it. It's terrifying.
Have you seen the video? It's a dash cam of a car.
When it boots the windshield?
It fucking jumps up and lands on the windscreen and then fucks off.
I can't do Australia, lads. I can't do it. Are kangaroos anywhere else?
Huh?
Are kangaroos anywhere else? I always think Australia.
New Zealand, maybe?
I can't do it. I can't do it.
I don't know.
They scare the shite out of me.
But I thought yours would be spiders.
I fucking hate spiders,
Have you seen them huntsmen? Them giant huntsmen?
No, like, I can't deal with spiders at all. Fucks me up. But the kangaroo thing, it's like, you know, spiders are like an insect. It is what it is. I don't like them. It's the human look in their eye. It's that fucking, I know that they're thinking, like, I can see it.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? It's no good. They're up to no good.
Ask me again.
Name something that scares the bejesus out of you, quick.
Anaconda.
Is there going to be an elaboration on this or just?
It's a big fucking snake.
Okay. Snakes don't bother me.
A fucking anaconda?
No, obviously, like, if I was around something that's going to kill me, I'd be a little bit fucking wary. But, you know, like, if I see a spider, I'm like, get it the fuck away from me. Snakes are that for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Don't bother me, but a lot of people just can't even look at them. They're freaked out by the movement and the slither. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we are actually going to cover our first Irish case today.
Okay.
What was wrong with you?
I can't think of any.
You can't think of any Irish cases?
No.
Well, today we are going to cover the case of the abduction and murder of Justine Valdez.
That name does sound familiar.
Well, it happened while you were living in Ireland, so I would assume you'd remember. As we go through it, you'll definitely remember it.
Okay.
So let's start with taking a look into the background of Justine. Justine Valdez was a 24-year-old woman. Originally from the Philippines, she was now living in Enniskerry, County Wicklow. Now, I think a lot of people, in particular, maybe Americans, look at Ireland, they think of this beautiful, scenic, gorgeous country.
Castles.
And, yeah. Like, it's this kind of romanticised view. No. Like, if you're going to city centre, it's not like that at all.
Shithole.
But I have to say, you've been there yourself. Enniskerry really is just this picturesque, beautiful.
Yeah, they have a hotel there. We could never afford to stay there. Is it Powers Court?
Yeah. The Powers Court waterfall was actually used in Vikings.
Well, the majority of Vikings was...
A lot of it was shot in Ireland, yeah, as far as I know.
Like Guinness Lake? Guinness Lake is where...
I didn't even watch Vikings. That was all you.
Yeah, so Guinness Lake, which is also in Wicklow, that's where they filmed... I can't remember what the hometown, wherever that's shot, it's Guinness Lake. But I can't remember the waterfall in Vikings. But I remember you telling me but that waterfall was used.
Mm.
But Enniskerry is really...
Enniskerry is picturesque.
Yeah.
It is. Well, they literally used Enniskerry for filming Enchanted 2. That's how dreamy and kind of, you know... It's a beautiful place. So while Justine was still in the Philippines, she was raised by her grandmother. And Justine had moved to Ireland in 2015 to join her parents, Teresita and Danilo. And they had moved some years before to start building a life here. And Justine had hoped for the same. She had hoped to settle in Ireland. She wanted to buy a home and create a life here for herself. And to be fair, she was doing it. Justine was studying accountancy at IT Tala. She worked part-time jobs as a care assistant as well as in a restaurant. And she also had a boyfriend, Joseph, who she began dating in November 2017. On the 19th of May 2018, Justine had been out that day in Bray. She had a 2 p.m. appointment at the Bray Garda station to have a residency permit renewed. She then went to the gym and then to the shops to buy a loaf of bread. And that day, Justine had exchanged 63 messages throughout the day with her mother. It was mostly just general chat. I know it sounds a lot, but that was pretty normal levels of interaction for them.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes to show how close they were.
Yeah.
Now, her last contact with her mother was at 4:20 p.m. She took the 5:40 p.m. 185 bus from Bray and arrived in Enniskerry at around 6 p.m. And from there, Justine had about a 15 to 20 minute walk from the bus stop to her home. As Justine got off the bus, she started the walk back to her home from the village. Unfortunately, this was where a man by the name of Mark Hennessy pulled up in a black Nissan Qashqai. Mark grabbed Justine and forced her into his vehicle. So before we continue on with the story, we're going to take a quick look into the background of Mark Hennessy.
Okay.
Mark was 40 years old, married with 2 young daughters. He worked in construction and at this time was working on a job in the Dunleary area. Those around Mark described him as being a hard-working, quiet, obliging man and a good father to his children. This was a quote from someone who knew Mark. "He never caused trouble. You'd never hear any complaints about him. He'd be the last guy you would suspect." We've heard that before.
Yep. It's like I've said it before in another episode, haven't I, about... Why do they have to comment saying, "Oh, he was a hard worker"? Yeah. Shit.
So, you know, it all sounds good so far about Mark.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of this was his relationship with drink. It was becoming a problem in his life, or, you know, maybe it always was. But he seemed to have taken to extreme levels. And also pair that with his drug use, it was starting to spiral a bit.
Yeah.
He was beginning to become unhinged, whether or not those around him noticed. So, back onto the 19th of May, the day of the abduction, multiple concerning reports were made to the guards, the first being from a woman who was driving past. She said that she had witnessed a Nissan car stop on the road with no lights on, and a man forcing a girl into the boot of the car. She described the girl as being Asian and had dark hair. She also heard screams coming from the girl. She pulled over her car and phoned the guards.
Oh, so at least she did it straight away.
Yeah. The second came from a man who witnessed what he thought was a child in the back of a car, banging on the windows. He, unfortunately, waited until he arrived home. He thought about it, he told his wife, and what he'd seen, it just didn't sit right with him.
So and his wife said, you thick bastard, why didn't you phone the guards?
Well, the thing about it is, right, Justine was very petite. She's about 5 foot tall. He said he thought he saw a child. So he just saw kind of a smaller...
Could have been a daughter. Small,
yeah. Like, I mean, but either way, he saw him banging the window. He wasn't sure if it was someone gesturing to him or like asking for help or, you know.
Yeah.
But with that, it was about an hour later. And like I said, it just did not sit right with him. So he rang the guards.
You actually hear about kids, like horrible little bastards. They'll prank their parents by writing on a piece of paper, "Help me," and showing it out of the car window. while the parents are driving.
Help me, she didn't buy me McDonald's on the way home. So when the guards went to the bus stop where Justine was last seen, they found her phone and the screen was smashed. They also found the loaf of bread that Justine's mother had asked her to pick up on her way home that day. And with all this, they knew, you know, we got to move quick on this. She is in obvious danger and we need to locate them. And I remember this. This was big.
It does sound familiar.
It was massive. As I go through more details, you're going to remember. And by the time her parents had reported her missing that evening, this turned into a nationwide search operation, including the use of helicopters in an effort to locate Justine. The guards urged everyone to be on the lookout for a black Nissan Qashqai matching his reg. But they also cautioned people not to approach, just call 999. Now, the car wasn't actually registered to Mark, but his wife. Like, his poor wife, can you imagine getting a knock on the door and the guards telling all this?
His daughters? How old were his daughters?
They were very young. One was under a year and the other was, I think, 3 years old.
Okay.
Now, I'll say for his wife, she was said to be fully cooperative with the guards in aiding their investigation. So fair play to her.
Yeah, because you do get that sometimes, don't you? Where they'll be in denial.
Yeah.
You know, and it's either they're in denial or it's, I need to protect my man.
Yeah. Sometimes with cases, people will go, well, how could she not have known? Very easily, actually.
Yeah.
People can have a whole separate fucking life, yeah, you know, nothing about. So another extremely eerie part of the story. Neil, I don't know if you remember, but the day that the car was bought, the dealership had actually posted like a promotional video of the handover of the car to Mark. It was all over social media.
That does sound familiar.
It's very creepy watching this video afterwards, knowing what he would go on to use the car for. Now, the guards searched through the night with no luck. It wasn't until the following evening at approximately 8 p.m. that they received a call. Mark's car was spotted in the Cherrywood Industrial Estate.
And I think that's where I had my tyre done once.
Armed guards were called to the scene. As they approached the car, they saw Mark with a Stanley knife. A guard named as Gardaí said, "My sole intention was to get him out of the car, with no access to be able to drive it away from us. My first attempt was to open the door, which was locked. Immediately on trying the door and looking in, I saw him holding up the Stanley knife. He was looking straight at me and the knife went into his forearm." Gardaí kicked the window in a quick attempt to gain access. The window didn't break though. That's when Garda A had to react quickly and fired a shot. It ricocheted off Mark's collarbone, hitting an artery. A volunteer that was present at the time, James McGee, said, "He took his hands off the wheel and he made a shrug motion, possibly at us, possibly at Gardaí. I recalled the Gardaí were trying to open the door. They were shouting, 'Open the door,' and another voice said, 'Smash the window.' I saw a Garda raise a karate kick at the driver's window, but it did not break."
What? Has he been watching fucking Cobra Kai?
I think so.
Cobra Kai never dies. Did he scream, "No mercy"?
The driver looked as if he knew everything was over for him. He took a blade about 10 centimetres and cut from his left wrist to his elbow in one single slicing motion. Mark was removed from the car as they searched it, and he was pronounced dead at 8:38 p.m. Now, the thing about this is a big deal in Ireland. Our police force aren't patrolling the streets armed all the time. When we see armed guards, we know some shit is going down, don't we? It's a big deal. And with that, some people had opinions on whether or not a gun should have been used. But they knew he had a weapon, they saw him using it, and they didn't know if he had or was going to use it on Justine.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with it.
Yeah, they made a split-second decision. What are they to do? So like I said, they removed Mark from the car to search it, and Justine was not in the car. But there was a piece of paper found, soaked in blood. It was difficult to read what the note said, but they were able to suss out the words, "Sorry," and "Puck's Castle."
Do we know which part is apologize? What? Sorry.
I assume it was a general apology for doing it. Like, oops, I fucked
up.
Who
knows what he can do with that, sorry. Fucking shove it.
So the search headed to the area of Puck's castle. The army set off to the left and the guards to the right.
Oh, the army's in it.
This is what I mean. This was a massive search. I'm guessing you don't remember it that well because you're kind of like, oh, I think I can't quite.
That sounds familiar with the car getting sold. Like they were, it was some sort of.
Yeah, like it was the handover. Like, congratulations to Mark Hennessy, who's just bought his brand new black Nissan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was, as soon as this came out and we knew who the guy was who did it, that video got circulated so much. And like I said, watching it back after the fact,
yeah,
it's very eerie. It's very creepy. You know, on one side of it, he's there strapping his two young kids into the car. The other side of it is he's used it to abduct a young woman.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it was a massive search operation. Like you just said, you know, oh, the army were involved. It was all over the place. We were all told to look out for this car.
Yeah.
It was all over the country. Like we knew he was going to be in the Wicklow, Dublin area, but it was kind of everyone was looking out for it.
I've actually hung out with the armed guards. No, I did.
Did the instant support, didn't you?
So. Yeah. And well, I never had to work alongside the armed guards, but, yeah, I was parked up in a petrol station.
You had the crack with them, though.
Yeah, they pulled up at
not side. Literal crack.
they parked at the space next to me, and they've got the side doors open, and they were all just sat there chilling. They got a coffee, and they openly told me, they were like, oh, we're going to go and do a raid. I don't know what to do with this information. Like,
yeah, it's a bit full on. You're just sat there having a sandwich and a coffee.
Yeah.
They're there with like a flinging a gun around their finger.
And they were mocking me for how easy my job was. They were like, how long have you been sat here? And I went, about 2.5 hours. Like, I don't have to go anywhere unless the phone rings saying there's a collision or a breakdown. Well,
that was the thing about your job. Your job, a hell of a lot of it would be kind of more boring, easier, sat around. But when you did get a call, it could be something very serious, very
well,
involved.
It's like the fatal I went to, 8 hours.
Yeah.
That was an 8 hour, like, I was there 8 hours.
Yeah.
The whole road was closed.
Mm.
And I can't go until they've cleared it.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not always busy, but when it is, you've got to really get your head in gear and be able to kind of deal with these traumatic situations.
But a good bunch of lads.
So yeah, they searched the area of Puck's castle. And on the following day, the 21st of May, Justine's body was found. Her body been dumped in thick gorse.
What's that?
Like brambles, grass. Hedges, grass. Yeah, like.
Okay.
Justine's cause of death was determined to be asphyxia due to manual strangulation. There's also bruising on her genitals. And the toxicology report states that small amounts of cocaine had been ingested within hours of her death. But it was very low levels of the drug, so it's undetermined how it had gotten into her system. Very unlikely that Justine had taken the drugs herself. Her boyfriend had described her as someone who didn't get up to mischief, never took drugs, and was just overall a very innocent person.
Yeah.
So I assume some type of transfer from Mark Hennessy.
And you know when they say bruised genitals, mm-hmm. is that as if like he's kicked and stomped or
it doesn't
is
go
it internal?
It doesn't go into a lot of detail. I assume it was a sexual assault or attempted sexual assault.
Okay.
And it said that Mark had murdered Justine very shortly after abducting her from the village. And after Mark had murdered Justine, he went to the pub.
What?
Yeah, people in the pub had seen him there. So why did this happen? As far as anyone knows, this was a completely random attack. There was no connection between Mark and Justine.
I just saw her and was obsessed.
So that's the thing. Detective Frank Keenahan, who led the manhunt, he has later said he believes that Mark was obsessed with Justine.
Huh.
He believes that Mark had seen her before, probably at the bus stop, and he had rehearsed the abduction. So this is what he said on it. I believe he saw her before. My impression is that he had seen her before. I think maybe he had followed her once before. I get the sense he knew her movements. I would not be surprised if that's the case. It's very hard to put an explanation to it or a rationale to it. It's also been speculated that Mark Hennessy could be connected to other sexual assaults. Because although the initial viewpoint is that his behaviour is impulsive, it's thought that may not be the case and that he could have been a serial sex offender. It does sound likely to me.
What, has anyone else identified him?
I don't think so. It's it all kind of seems more like theories.
Okay.
But it does seem likely. The whole, because we have
for
the whole,
it to be a one-off.
Yeah, we get told this whole stranger danger, but we know it's more likely to be someone close to you.
Yeah.
They can't find a connection between Justine and Mark. So for him to just randomly go, we know he followed the bus. So he must have at least seen her in Bray, followed the bus.
Yeah.
And abducted her. But I think it's much more likely that he had watched her movements previously. She worked in Bray. She was going to and from there regularly enough, you know?
And he was working in Dunleary.
He was working in Dunleary, but he lived in Bray.
Oh, okay.
So, a memorial service was held in Ireland for Justine before her parents brought her remains back to the Philippines. She would be buried in her hometown of Aratau. Hundreds attended her funeral. A GoFundMe was set up for Justine's parents. With a target of €10,000, it has now surpassed €150,000.
Fucking hell.
Every year, on the 21st of May, Justine's parents prepare a meal of her favourite foods, joined by her friends and those who've supported the family, and they always set a place for Justine. And every night, they go to her bed that is still made as she left it, and they say goodnight. Justine's parents have also said that they take some comfort knowing, quote, how deeply our beautiful daughter Justine has affected the people of Ireland. She is a fun-loving, wonderful, caring daughter and friend. She is always in our hearts and in the hearts of the people of Ireland. Justine's boyfriend, Joseph, described her as happy, active, and innocent. Quote, she was literally the most innocent person I've ever met in my life, and I will never forget her. So just to give you a little bit of insight into Justine, this is her own words. It was a letter she wrote to her parents.
Okay.
I don't know how to express the word I love you right from the bottom of my heart, because words aren't enough to let you know how much I love and care for you. I'm so lucky that I have you as a part of my life. Because of you, I have overcome all the trials in my life. Without you, my life would be a mess. You're always here to guide, protect, and give all what I want. You sacrifice a lot for me to live and be part of this world. When I lose hope, you are there to remind me that mistakes can make you a better person. And you still accept me, despite my failures and weaknesses. I've probably said this a couple times during the episode, but this was an extremely shocking incident that happened not far from where we live. Everyone in the country was waiting for the next update as this was happening. Not to mention the murder of a 14-year-old girl that happened less than a week before the abduction of Justine. And that was the murder of Anna Kriegel. It put a spotlight on how young women and women in general feel regarding their safety. It really opened the door for discussion in Ireland about it, I think.
Yeah.
So the other thing to do with the issue of safety and how people, in particular women, feel about it, Justine was abducted during the day. It was daylight.
Mm.
I think that adds to the terror of it, that it's so easy. She was literally walking home in daylight and someone just grabbed her and took her. And that's the case of the abduction and murder of Justine Valdez.
I think I can remember it. Am I getting this right? Were there like a standoff?
Before
they tried breaking the window and stuff, were it like a standoff?
So there can't have been much of a standoff. This all happened very quickly. They received a call at about 8 p.m. and by 8:38, he was pronounced dead. For these few days, the nation was watching. They were waiting to see what happened. They're all praying for Justine to be found safe.
Yeah.
When they got to that car and she wasn't there, Detective Frank Keenahan, he was basically saying, that's it. I know she's gone.
Yeah.
This was our last chance to be able to rescue her.
Yeah, like it's harsh to say. Like, one thing my dad's always said, which some people don't agree with, when a child goes missing, my dad always says, if that's like a proper manhunt and they're not found within 24 hours, they'll never find them.
Well, he was the chief of police for 25 years, so I think we should all listen to him.
My dad?
Yeah. So, another podcast who I know has also covered this case is Picture the Scene. And they did a fantastic job as always, and I was so glad to see this case getting covered. Now, they were also kind enough to have us two gobshites on their podcast. And I have to say, Rachel and Andy were absolutely lovely and they were just so welcoming, which was great because I'm always a little bit nervous myself, you know, guesting on a podcast or anything of that nature. We'll also be uploading the episode we guest on for you guys to check out, and we really hope you enjoy it. You ready for an oddity?
Yes.
Death by sinkhole.
Huh?
Death by sinkhole.
Is this going to be some fucking Final Destination shit where someone's ass is stuck in the fucking hole and gets their insides pulled, like they die from inside out?
What the fuck?
Final Destination is in a pool and...
No, it's not.
There's a sinkhole, like, no, sucking...
That's like a filter or something in a pool.
What?
A sinkhole is when the ground opens up.
I thought you meant like a plug hole.
Oh, sinkhole. So a sinkhole is... Now, don't quote me. I don't know all the science behind it. But a sinkhole is when, like, say, if water has gotten into the soil and it's eroded away the rocks and stuff and just made it more weak so it can cave in.
Right.
Or something to that effect.
So it's... A big hole in ground.
Yeah, it's fucking mental. Like, it's just caves in.
Okay.
Boom. So, deaths caused by sinkholes are not obviously the most common occurrence, but they do still happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Back in 2013 in St. Petersburg, Florida, a man was asleep in his bed when a sinkhole actually opened on his property. So, the sinkhole opened, collapsing the floor beneath him, causing him to be swallowed by the sinkhole.
Well, if the sinkhole weren't going to wake him up, nothing would. But that, then again, that'd be me.
You'd sleep through.
That'd be me.
You would.
See, before I moved over here...
I could whack you over the head with a baseball bat, and at most you'd stir.
Well, before I moved over here, like, I'd wake up to a pin dropping.
Mm.
And then once I got over here and I was with you, like, you've elbowed me in the face.
Yes. Not on purpose now. I know people think I'm just abusing you. It was a mistake. I was having a nightmare and I like moved and I, yeah.
Elbowed me straight in noggin, yeah. And apparently I didn't even move.
I can't believe that. But yeah, the sinkhole opened up and like I said, unfortunately, he was swallowed by the sinkhole. Now, there were 5 other people in his house and luckily they all managed to escape unharmed.
What, and they just thought, fuck him?
No, his brother did attempt, but unfortunately failed to rescue him from the sinkhole. Now, when I read that bit, I was like, how, like, fair play to him.
Because how fast does it happen?
I don't know. And how do you, what's the first thing you do in an attempt to rescue someone from a sinkhole?
Run from the hole.
No, when you're trying to rescue them from the sinkhole.
Oh no, once they're in, they're gone, aren't they?
Yeah, but what did he attempt?
Chuck a rope down and say, grab onto that. And yeah. If no one grabs onto it, it's like, well, the fuck. The...
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of, is lowering someone down and hoping. Like,
but
you're
how
shouting
deep is
down.
It?
I don't, like, it's
how much
huge.
Rope do you chuck down?
It's huge. I don't know. Like, it's very fucking scary. And it's one of those things where you kind of, like, you don't think of that ever happening.
Sure, this is real. It sounds like something out of a cartoon.
No, it's real. Fuck you. Now, the body of this man was never recovered. That's how scary it is. It just literally swallowed him up. He's gone. They can never bury him. It's very sad. And that sinkhole has actually reopened twice since.
What do you mean reopen? Wait, is it actually sealed back up?
So I'm guessing they would have sealed it up and the ground has just collapsed in again.
I'd just leave it as a big hole.
Well, yeah. So since it's reopened, they've actually fenced. They demolished the house that was there first off.
Okay.
And now it's just fenced off. So they know, like, that area, whatever the fuck is going on, it's no good.
But eventually it could go past the fence.
I mean, I assume so. I assume it can just keep caving in. I don't know. I'm not an expert in sinkholes, but they fucking terrify me now. That's now a new fear unlocked.
Yeah, I didn't know that they were a thing.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were on about a plug hole.
I'm here to warn you of the dangers of life. You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.